Important dates in Christian history. 1727. A spiritual awakening at Herrnhut, Germany, launches the Moravian Brethren as the forerunner of modern Protestant missionary movements. This 300-member group sent missionaries to Asia, Africa, North and South America, and the Arctic. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Wasn't gonna, but now I've got to. I'm compelled. This is Wretched Radio. Sorry, was gonna move on. But I think that this is so helpful for all of us. Was listening to Brad Bigney's Thrive podcast on marriage and parenting. You can find it at fortisplus.org, wherever you do your podcast business. And I was listening to it and being fed. He happened to bring his wife, Vicky, onto the program to talk about the attitude, especially of the newlywed couple, when they enter into marriage, what their expectations are, and how they were so devastated when they first got married. And I was listening to it, and I was just so, it's like good reminders. Now, we've been married. <laughs> 34 years. And these were excellent reminders. In fact, these reminders, they don't just apply to marriage. They apply to your relationship with your kids, with your coworkers, everything. And that is that marriage and other relationships aren't real. The primary goal of those institutions isn't to make you thrilled. It's to make you holy. It's to grow you. It's to change you. And marriage, perhaps more than any other institution, because of the intimacy of the relationship, you are in the house to get, you share the same bed. This is an intimate relationship. And if you think that that Princess Buttercup is going to be perfect all the time, you're just in for a world of hurt. But when you recognize this institution was made to grow me and to expand me, well, then you get to work together, marching towards celestial city together, growing in holiness together. That's a little different than this TikTok woman.
And I felt so disrespected and unseen and unvalued at that point in time.
Because he didn't empty the garbage. He didn't take the baby bottle out of the dishwasher. And this was the straw that broke this camel's back.
I remember texting my husband being like, what happened? Like, why didn't you do this? And he said, sorry, I was running late for work. And I remember thinking, oh my God, he doesn't see me.
By the way, the word sorry. Now, I don't know how he said it. You know, she's just recalling the story. But when you're in a Christian marriage, sorry is enough. It maybe doesn't feel like enough considering what the offense may have been. But when you're in a Christian marriage and somebody says sorry, even when it might not be as heartfelt as you feel that it should be, we accept it. And then we move on. Why? Because that is our responsibility. When your spouse sins or just does something annoying, it is our responsibility to be quick forgivers. Not so with this young lady.
Because what he's done has now made me late for work. And he doesn't care about that. He doesn't care about the impact on me. And he does.
Jimmy, You're beside yourself in there, aren't you?
I really am.
And this is why it's so ironic that she's identifying that her husband is being selfish because everything in her world isn't going the way that she wants.
Exactly.
Which sounds a little selfish. And that, well, this woman is so not unique. So I'm not trying to pile on this lady. She represents millions who have been told everything in the world is about you.
See how every single thing in our home happens because I ask him to do it, or because I do it myself, or because I planned and organized it.
I'm wondering if that's really accurate. Every time I hear always, ever, never, I'm a little suspicious.
The bag is full because I filled it, right? I put the wipes in there. And I felt so frustrated. And I remember thinking, what's the point?
Wow. Because the dishwasher wasn't empty. I get it. There's more to this story, but I'm not the one who made the video. She did.
What's the point of doing this with someone else? I might as well just do it at home.
That is one way to look at marriage. here's another way.
Our culture is so based on feeling like once my feelings are gone, then I'm out of here. Yeah. You know, you hear it with country songs, you hear it with movies. This feels so good. That's why I'm here. Yeah. And as soon as it doesn't, I'm out of here. And to be honest, if that's what we would have based our marriage on, we would be divorced right now.
We'd be done.
There's no doubt in my mind.
That is so transparent. How long has, I think Brad's been pastoring for what, 30 years? Married for about the same? And yet willing to say at the jump, if they did not get reoriented to what marriage is supposed to be, they'd be out of here.
Feelings were over. She looked at me and said, I don't love you anymore. And so if we had bought into our culture, then we would have said, well, before this gets any uglier, because we weren't hitting each other and using profanity. I wasn't out of control anger as a guy. Sometimes guys are doing that. I had just quietly shifted towards more work. And ours was a marriage of neglect.
Right.
It wasn't even so much going at each other in ugly, hurtful ways. We would have the same arguments over and over, but it wasn't usually hurtful and didn't get personal. Ours died from neglect. I just abandoned it because I said, I don't know how to do this. I don't know what it is that she's wanting. Mm-hmm. So we're both thankful we did not believe the lie that marriage is only about a feeling. And if the feeling isn't there, get out.
And I'm really grateful that our marriage was based on a commitment before a holy God and to each other, because otherwise we would have been out of there. And I think the fact that we stayed and chose to work through things, which once again, it wasn't hard. It was grueling.
Yes.
If you're young and maybe engaged, you're going to get married, please don't, they're going to address this. Don't let this deter you, because you have no idea how amazing a godly marriage can be. You can't fathom it right now. And here's something else that I think that you might be a little bit, okay, maybe not totally blind to, but your vision is a little fuzzy. You maybe don't think this is the way you think. If you're under the age of 40, it's the way you think, at least in part, because you've been indoctrinated. You have been told over and over again, you. Everything should be pleasing to you. And when it's not, it's toxic, it's narcissistic, cut it off. And you say, well, I reject that mentality. Yes, but it's still entirely possible, if not likely, you still are infected by it.
I mean, I cried so much. You know, I saw so much about myself that I knew I need to work on some areas. And I think once again, I know it perhaps is unusual to people, but I had never, like my parents were wonderful parents. They did correct me. But I think in my mind, I just think I'm a rule follower. You know, go by the rules. Your teachers love you. Your parents love you. It goes well for you. So that was kind of my growing up. Well, then when I never really had many people cross me or tell me things about me that were
so
not helpful.
I would correct you say, hey,
Well, I remember being probably maybe 4 or 5 and my parents, I don't know what had happened. I just remember they had told me something that I didn't like. And I went in my room, shut my door. Maybe I got in a spanking. I don't remember what had happened. And I just thought, I will make them pay so they never want to do this again. And I cried and screamed and I would get the worst headache. I mean, this went on for like 2 or 3 hours. Like, you know, looking bad, they probably should come.
I will punish them.
Right. I will punish them. Yeah. So
that, by the way, happens in marriage a lot. You wound me, I will cut off your head.
I had not had much correction in my life. And once again, when you get married, this is your closest earthly relationship. And so no big surprise that there's going to need to be some changes, but that had never happened to me before. So this was a new dawning on
for someone
that I'm not
close
perfect
to you to speak to you about you in any way
like
other
it
than totally flattering.
Right.
It's like, whoa, shocking.
Right.
And I don't receive this.
I will pout, I will pull away, but this is not
but I want
ever
you to hear this
again.
Since we started with feelings, it's been hard work, but do you feel something for me now?
Oh, absolutely.
Vicky? Yeah. Mm. And same, so I have feelings for Vicky. I kid you not. Not just, well, praise God, there's some feelings now because they put in some hard work. I have feelings for Vicky on a level I never thought possible, on a level that I've never experienced. I've never had a best friend. I've already revealed enough about me that I did not grow up having huge, tight relationships. There are feelings that I have for Vicky, and I've experienced a level of intimacy. And right now I'm talking about something way beyond sex, physical sex in a marriage. I'm talking about intimacy and a relationship and friendship that I'd never tasted before. Mm.
That's lovely. Would you like that? It can happen. It really can. You have more power in your marriage than you think. And here's where the power resides, in humility. Isn't that what Jesus said? That the humble will be exalted. It is the meek and the lowly that he esteems. So when you go down, things tend to go up. God blesses the humble. And when you change, perhaps you're thinking that marriage should be a perfect harmony all the time to, I'm the one who's out of tune. I'm the one that needs to be tuned up and changed and fixed. It'll change everything. And you will see a spouse respond to that. So no matter where your marriage currently is at, I'm telling you, there is power in doing it biblically. This is Wretched Radio.
Marriage and parenting, beautiful gifts from God, but let's be honest, they're not easy. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, if you're wondering if you're doing it right, listen, you're not alone. And more importantly, there's hope. Pastor Brad Bigney understands these challenges. With 36 years of biblical counseling experience and over 3 decades of shepherding his church, he brings you God's timeless wisdom each and every week on Thrive.
To be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God.
And this isn't just another how-to show. Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive reveals the truth about your marriage. It's a living picture of Christ's relationship with his church. And your parenting, it's a divine calling to disciple the next generation. As Pastor Brad says, your home wasn't designed to just survive. God created it to thrive. Find Thrive with Brad Bigney right now at FortisPlus.org or all major podcast platforms. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's honestly judging how we judge. Listen, if you're tired of watching your loved ones fall for every wind of doctrine that blows through TikTok, this resource could be an answered prayer. 13 powerful lectures that will revolutionize how you view biblical discernment. Plus, because we love you, there's a free study guide included. It's time to stop tiptoeing and start standing firm. Your family and friends need you anchored in God's word now more than ever at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. 25 years. That's a quarter century of standing firm for biblical truth.
This is Wretched Radio.
Through every cultural shift, every challenge, every opportunity to proclaim God's truth, you've been with us. And for that, you're grateful. What started as Wretched Radio has grown into something remarkable. Today, as part of Fortis Institute, we're reaching more believers than ever before. Our daily podcasts and radio shows, video content, and biblical resources continue to strengthen local churches and equip the saints, just as we've done for 25 years. But none of this would be possible without faithful partners like you. You've helped us reach millions with the unchanging truth of God's word. As we celebrate this milestone, we're reminded that our mission remains the same, serving the King of Kings by strengthening his church. Join us at FortisInstitute.org as we continue this journey together for 25 more years of faithful service.
Until tomorrow, go serve your King.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the cornerstone. When laying a foundation, every stone must be aligned in reference to the cornerstone. God is building his church as a holy temple, and as believers, we are being brought into line with the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now I know what Michael Corleone felt like. This is Wretched Radio. I was going to share something edifying. I was going to share a clip of a testimony from a prisoner so that we could all be encouraged that God is working even behind bars. But no, Jimmy keeps pulling me back in. The TikTok woman kind of has you a little agitated.
A little bit. I mean, the things that she's saying, yeah.
And you've got a prophecy.
I think that if she and or her husband are not saved, because obviously you can clearly tell that's not a Christian marriage, that they're going to wind up getting divorced at some point. Because right now, he may have done the work to change to make her happy. But as the kids get older, her expectations are going to change.
And here's, you know, another thing that will greet them is when the kids leave the home and it's the two of them. Mm. There's just bigger things than chores. Chores are not insignificant, but they're just bigger things that you want to be working on. And by the way, the empty nesting business, if that's the stage that you're headed toward, you do well to contemplate it now. Think it through. Because as the kids go, I promise you, no matter what shape your marriage and family life is in, it will change. The dynamics, everything shifts from meal preparation to what you do in the evenings to how many activities you have. All of those things suddenly are radically, they're pieces that get moved around the chessboard of your home. And you're going to have to get some stuff sorted. And if your marriage isn't thriving when you enter into that, get ready. That's why the divorce rate is extremely high for people who have been married for like 30 years. What happened? They've been married for 30 years. Didn't they get that sorted? No, they had kids. It probably became a kid-centric home. They didn't thrive in their relationship with their spouse. And now they're confronted with each other pretty much 24/7. And it ain't going so swimmingly. And so what do? They file papers and out they go. Be ready for it. Now, having said that, be ready for it. Because I'm telling you, it is an amazing season. I absolutely adored having kids. I loved it. In fact, Jimmy, I don't know if I shared this with... Did I tell you we went bowling?
You did.
Alberta Bible Church,
you
went
did.
Bowling. Uh-huh. Did I tell you what I did the entire time?
You watched...
The baby.
That's right.
I did share that. Okay. Sorry. I need to be taking my lion's mane.
You should.
Again. I get to be with the baby. It's like, I'm in like a happy place. Dogs and babies. And I'm just throw me a scrap of bread and I'll be fine because I loved it. But the phase now with the kids being gone, just with my wife, I love it. And it doesn't mean I didn't love that. It's not an either or, it's a both and. It's phenomenal. It is so great to be with my sweetheart all the time, to be with her and do things and to just go and to do and to walk and to spend time together. It is phenomenal. So get ready for it. It's going to require some shifting and some like resorting of things. And you'll have to go through that work. And if your marriage isn't currently thriving because it sounds more like TikTok woman than it does Brad and Vicky, get on it now. You'll be glad you did, because if you don't, your marriage will be in a very precarious position. You done pulling me back in, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Then let's be encouraged, shall we?
And I'm a banger. Now I'm a Christ gang member. I want to be a Christian gang member. You know what I mean? And that all that other stuff, Michael got me killed, got me put in prison for 30 years. You know what I mean? I got 3 more years to go, I'll be home. And I'm going to be lost out there. You know what I mean? I ain't been out there so long, be lost.
I love prison ministries. There are so many fine people that try to help guys like this. if you've never had any experience with somebody who's been incarcerated, perhaps this sounds very strange, or you've maybe just seen this, what this fellow is describing in the movies, that somebody is struggling. You think they've been let out. They should be flying free as a bird. Well, being free as a bird isn't what they know. They're just used to an entirely different system. It's almost like its own little universe. And then to be released into the big world, most are unable to make that transition, which is why the recidivism rate is staggering when it comes to incarceration. That people, they just don't know how to make it work. So if you're a prison ministry, I got to tell you, salute, keep up the great work. And if your church has perhaps a prison near it, you got yourself a ministry. You just got to get in there through the warden so that you can start helping these men to transition them from incarceration into freedom.
But I met a bunch of good people right here in Harvest Plains, and I think I'm going to try to stay with them, you know, when I get out. They got a little halfway house thing going on. Brother Kevin and Danny, Arch, Pastor B, good people. And I'm going to surround myself with good people. Because if I don't, I know what the devil's going to do. Same thing he did last time. Pull me right back in that gutter. And I'm out the gutter. I don't want to go back in the gutter. Mm. Jesus pulled me through it several times. Because I don't know how much time. I'm 56 years old. I don't know how much time I got left to live. And probably if I wouldn't have been in prison, I'd have been dead a long time ago. Because he changed me. He could change anybody. Mm. I just hope I could talk to some people when I get out to help change them from going the route I went. But I'm glad I'm here because God put me here for a reason. To get me right. And I thank him every day for it. If I got to stay here the rest of my life getting me right, I'll be here. Because I'm going to get right before I get back out there. Every time I'm in class, I'm taking the glorious gospel, Paul Washer's workbook, and I got all that in there.
That's Paul Washer's book. These are from Heart Cry Ministries. They went into a prison and they heard these testimonies. They recorded them so that we could be edified.
Every one of them. And I wrote this down a long time ago, but while I was back, and then there it is. There it is. The one that just goes on and on and on and on about Paul Washer, the divine dilemma, the bore our sin, Jesus bore our sin, took the sin away from us and all that. Every time I think about what he did for me, it hurts me, bro.
Got to tell you, that right there is a greater articulation of the gospel than most people who are participating in so many seeker-friendly megachurches. They don't talk about sin. They don't talk about justification. They don't talk about propitiation. They talk about virtually anything but Paul Washer's curriculum from Heart Cry Ministries. Yeah, it's on point.
Because I've done so much dirt and guilt, and this man died for me. And I'm just really realizing what he done for me, you know what I'm saying? And it breaks me down every time, man. It really does. Because I was nothing but a ratchet sinner, bro. And I was doomed. I was hit. I'm going to hell. If I didn't know Jesus, I'm going to hell.
You're going to be seeing this guy in heaven. Not sure that he's going to have his tattoos on his face, but you're going to be seeing this guy in heaven. Guy who's been in jail for 30 years is found by Jesus Christ behind bars.
And everybody else is too. And I try to tell them all. I look around the zone, there's a bunch of dead bodies everywhere. Mm. And I'm trying to tell them, man, no God, bro, get with Jesus, bro, come to class with me, go to church with me. They look at me like, man, you trying to get me to go to church? Yes, I am. Things change when you're with the Lord, man. He changes your heart. Because I wouldn't have been sitting here crying right like I am now for the Lord. I, It didn't matter to me back then. I didn't care. But now to sit here and know what he really did for me, how could I not?
Mm-hmm. How can you not be an ambassador for the king who saves the servants? No, the rebels. This guy is another testimony. I'm telling you, I feel strongly. I can't tell you definitively, but I feel strongly. You're going to be hearing testimonies in heaven for eternity. Oh, wait, he what? And you are who? And he saved. Wow. Tell me the deets. And we do well to do that. If you sometimes wonder, you know, how do I get into a conversation with somebody about spiritual things? Be church members. Ask them for their testimony. Ask them to share what God did to save them. How did you come to faith in Jesus? And I'm telling you, you listen, you'll be edified. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.